Shalom, brothers and sisters. Today we hear in this last chapter in Luke were the four accounts of how the disciples came to believe in the resurrection of Jesus. A few weeks ago, in the first two stories, Mary Magdalene and then Peter came to see that Jesus was raised from the dead because they found his tomb empty. The third story is set on the road to Emmaus. And today's gospel is Jesus appearing to the apostles and the disciples in Mass. And in today's beautiful gospel, Jesus is present to those disciples. He gives himself to them to be held, to be seen. He eats with them, and he teaches them about the scriptures. And then we'll find out next week that he commissions them to go out. And as a result of this first Easter, we gather here each Sunday to remember and make Easter present again. In or outside this Easter season, Sundays are always days of the resurrection. And as just as that first Easter Sunday, we believe that Christ continues to invite us here. Teach us about the scriptures, to understand them, and to go out and practice them in our daily lives. And to be able to do all of this, we receive the same gift that Jesus gave his disciples and the apostles. And that gift is the gift of peace. So again, brothers and sisters, I say, Shalom. You could do better than that. One more time. Shalom. Beautiful. I like to think that God is a father that has never broken his promises. In fact, he's a promise keeper. Another name for God that I like to call him and pray to him on, and that's one clear meaning of today's gospel, that God is a promise keeper. That truth is attested to in the Hebrew scriptures and is beautifully conveyed in today's readings to us. God made a promise to this man named Noah that he never again, for every living thing on the earth, be destroyed by a flood. And the rainbow in the clouds was that sign of that promise. And you know what? God kept that promise. And then God promised this dude named Abram that if he left his own country, his own kin, and his father's house and enter into this unknown land, that God will make him a great nation with offspring so numerous that it will be like the dust of the earth. God changed Abram's name to Abraham and promised that he would be the ancestor of a multitude of nations, of which kings will come forth. That God promised to be Abraham's God and to give him the land of Canaan. And the sign of that promise was manifested, and God indeed kept that promise. And then along comes this dude named Moses. And God promised Moses that the people of Israel be led out of their slavery to Egypt and into the land flowing with milk and honey. And God again camped in the wilderness of Sinai, still far from that promised land. And he again made the promise to Moses that through Moses, he's going to make the people of Israel God's treasured possession, a priestly kingdom, a holy nation. And that sign of the promise would be the law, the Ten Commandments. And yes, God kept that promise. Even when the people of Israel disobeyed and wandered from God, the promises didn't cease. In the depths of their despair during the Babylonian captivity, God sent the prophet Isaiah with a new promise. To come like a shepherd who feeds his flock and gathers his lambs in his hands. God kept that promise of righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. And then God promised to send his only begotten son from the house of David. That son. A sign of that promise would be a young woman who would bear the Son, Emmanuel, God is with us. And indeed, God kept that promise. So with that history of God's promise keeping in their memory, those who follow Jesus were well disposed to trust in his promise that the Son of Man would be raised on the third day. But as we heard, like their ancestors, who either didn't grasp the significance of God's promise or didn't believe them to enough of a deep level, the disciples in today's gospel appear to have wandered into that dark space, that region of doubt and dismay that we all experience sometimes or another. But when Jesus appears to them, they're described as being startled, terrified, troubled, questioning. But only when Jesus shows them his hands and the wounds on his feet, and he eats with them, they become incredulous and joy with amazement. And the promise of the resurrection was too much for them to believe. It took Christ's presence to return them to table fellowship, to convince them that God indeed is a promise keeper. And the gospel, brothers and sisters, that we are given this third Sunday of Easter is convincing and reassuring. It is convincing because it shows us ordinary people behaving the way we do. To know of the promises that God has made down through the centuries, we know how those promises were kept. But in our human frailty and lack of faith, we still do not put our full trust in God's promises. And like those disciples, we still approach the promise of eternal life with questions or even troubled hearts. Perhaps even terrified at times. It takes a lifetime to overcome the obstacles created by life on this side of Lent. Yet every Easter, our Alleluias reveal that we are coming to believe more and more in God, the promise keeper. This gospel, brothers and sisters, says something fascinating that I cannot overstate the importance of. It says that Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures and all things concerning himself. So remember this, whenever you're studying scripture, especially if you're studying what scholars call typology, right, which is the Old Testament foreshadowing the new, prefiguration and the prophecies of the New Testament's fulfillment, that's not something that's just this academic exercise. It's something that actually we need grace for, to be able to see the connections between the old and the new, to see the prophecies coming to their full fulfillment. And everything in the scriptures was there for the apostles, but they read it, they prayed it, they still didn't understand it. And they still didn't grasp what was actually taking place in front of their eyes. But once it happened, they still needed Christ to open up their minds to understand the scriptures. So I encourage you that whenever you're reading this Bible of ours, this library of books and testament, don't just open the Bible and start reading and studying on your own power. Pray before you read the scriptures. And for what it's worth, I'll share what I do, just a little custom. And my prayer is simply this: Lord, write your word in my mind and on my lips and in my heart, that I might know it, that I might live it, and that I might teach it in all my thoughts, my words, and actions. That's my prayer before I read the Bible, because what I'm doing in that prayer is recognizing that I need God to open up my mind if I'm going to understand the scriptures. Now, you can learn a lot in scriptures on your own power, but it's not enough to fully understand, as example the apostles in today's gospel. That is the goal of the risen Lord in all appearances, opening up our eyes for people to see with the eyes of faith and understanding. He wants his followers to see him as a risen Lord and to see him differently, and when they do, they're moved to action. Easter life is about coming to see beyond the darkness in life. It's about returning to hope. And we're all on this road again and again as we go from Jerusalem to Emmaus. We leave the pain of broken dreams behind us and just keep walking. But that's not enough. No matter what the brokenness is, that's not God's plan for us. God has destined us for life, and he's destined us to bring life. We belong to a church that is suffering, along with our personal sufferings. But we're not meant to stay here, brothers and sisters. We're meant to move beyond the hurt, trusting in God to care for what we cannot do. We're not abandoned by God, never will be, by Jesus or the Holy Spirit of new life. New life is possible. We have to see and work for these new possibilities. So every day, every week, we have an Emmaus experience when we come here. We start by calling to mind what's occurring, what's in the sadness in our lives, the crushed hopes, the things that we have messed up to prevent us from seeing. And God speaks to us through those, through the scriptures, and through the preaching. Jesus becomes present in the breaking of the bread that happens on this altar. Our eyes are open to respond with the words, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Then we too are sent on our way back to life to see with the eyes of Easter faith. The gift of the risen Lord is the gift of faith, recognizing his presence. And when he comes, he brings peace, shalom, hope, and joy to us. And perhaps you could recall some of your Easter vision as we speak right now. And often they come barely noticed in our lives. It's maybe a sudden appreciation for another person, maybe an impulse to do the right thing for another, maybe a feeling of courage or boldness to testify to the truth of life, what God has done for you in your life to others that you would necessarily not speak to. To understand and teach the church teachings, to be filled with a sense of inner peace and joy at the beginning or at the end of the day. We are an Easter people on our journey, but we don't walk alone. So, brothers and sisters, add the title of God the Promise Keeper, the Father who keeps his promises, to some of the names you pray to and call God. And when you say your prayers in the morning, at noon, at night, add Promise Keeper to call God. And there's a little ditty I want to end this with. No breakfast, no Bible, no breakfast. No Bible, no bed. Beginning and the end of your day. No Bible, no breakfast. No Bible, no bed. And then we truly enter into shalom.